Okay, my dear friends and fellow empaths, what a world we're living in today. It just gets more and more interesting. And aren't we learning how to be present day by day?
Yeah.
So our theme this week, this month, is our connection to the heart of the mother and how to live within her being. And so we'll be moving in that direction slowly. I'd like to do an initial grounding and get the sacred circle to begin and activate so that we're working in sacred space. Before we do that, is there anything that any of you want to bring up that's feels urgent for you? And thank you, some of you, for taking time to comment on the project that the coach training students posted on the site. And in case you didn't read that email, there's a link on the site for some journaling questions that the trainees had to answer as part of their training. And I'm hoping two things: that by this being shared with you, it'll help you realize you're not alone and that many of your experiences are similar to other people's experiences. And number two, that it'll inspire you to start journaling in the journal that came with this course. So it's a good thing to start writing down your impressions, self-inquiry to remind you of the deeper states that you've been in. And I'm not a giant journaler. I'm not one of those people that keeps a daily journal. Some people are wonderful at that, and it's really beneficial. I am not that way, but I am a sticky note journaler.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I love that. That's about right.
And I share that deep secret with you to encourage you to, you know, write things down as they come to you. It doesn't have to be a formal exercise, but those insights that come to us from our higher being or the depths of our heart are important to note. And so when we write them down, they have a deeper impact in our being, and we tend to let them in a little more substantially, give them more validity, and tend to not breeze over them. You know, oh, I had that moment of insight, and now I'm back to my heavy, dark self that can't do anything anymore. So I encourage you to do that. So I have a stack of sticky notes in beautiful, you know, the pads in beautiful neon colors. And they're all over my desk and computer cabinet and all over my nightside stand and kitchen counter. And they're kind of scattered everywhere. And then I gather them up and put things together. So I'd like to encourage you to start writing and share some of those insights with us. How did the assignment of having a day to write on the class page go for people? I want some feedback on that, because I want to see if we want to do that again. What do we think of that?
This is Sally. I liked it, even though I missed my day. I'm glad you reminded me, but I had every intention to add something. So at least I do add something one time, better than zero.
Well, do you read other people's, though?
I do. Yeah, I do.
Okay. More feedback?
I find the you know, we've been emphasizing vibration and how this is, you know, we're learning a new language and it's not necessarily verbal. So then it seems quite sort of contorted to try to take experiences which are nonverbal and put words on them.
Ah, I understand your perspective. And then, did anyone happen to look at the, what was it, from 2018, I put up the link to the booklet that everyone made, and I put pictures to it, and how they were one sentence insights.
Yeah,
I did. Thank you.
Yeah, love that.
Beautiful to go back.
Yeah,
and they were wonderful. They were wonderful.
It's so inspiring.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's the art of this. And Ananda, you can relate because I know you're a student of many spiritual traditions. There's an art to taking that nonverbal, beautiful experience and letting it synthesize into what I would call a teaching. Like a one sentence, it could be three words. It's a synthesis of what the experience is in the metaphor of language. And there's something about taking that nonverbal experience, and this is, it's, I practice this all the time, and synthesizing it, letting it gestate within you to the point where it becomes a clear insight. It's very similar to incubating dreams. So when we have a very complex dream and we don't know what the actual meaning of it is because we get so involved in the story of it, I've learned there's the process of incubating a dream where you sit with it and you get the feel of it. You sense, you ask yourself, if this was a newspaper headline, what would the headline of the dream be? Or what would the title of the book or the movie be? And that's a technique for incubating a dream, because you can have the most complex, you know, like a whole 2-hour movie going on in your dream, but you don't know how to bring the meaning through. And you can kind of add and project into the meaning of things, and it takes a while to uncover what the succinct message of that dream was. So that technique of asking, what would this be if it was just a newspaper headline or a title of the book, and letting it come to you, letting go of all the detail, and letting your intuition bring forward just a sentence, just a few words. And that brings it into your current reality. So we're not learning about nonverbal communication in terms of vibrational intelligence just to live in that strata. We want to include that strata in our full experience of life and learn how to bring that through. Now, another way you may have experienced this is, let's say you get very, very quiet in a meditation and you feel a certain release in your body. So you may feel a release around your belly, around the back of your neck, or your legs, or your feet. And intuitively, you know that that release had to do, let's say, with you holding on to something from your past. So that's another way that when you get quiet, you know something intuitively and can actually put it into words and have some meaning to it that can be very, very succinct. But it takes a little while to gestate the meaning from an experience, to synthesize it. But it's a really good practice because we are receiving nonverbal, energetic, vibrational teachings directly from our higher being, from our guides, from our beloved, all the time. And how do we make them a reality in our life, in our consciousness? How do we bring them to life? And that's what this practice does, this cultivating. So I'm offering that as a way of working with the nonverbal vibrational experiences. It's not an either or, but it's a spectrum of awareness that we want to spread throughout our entire consciousness. How did that land for people?
Ananda, this is Andrea, and when I read your words, I feel your hand on my shoulder. We had that long walk down the mountainside once, and I think it's great.
Just like if we feel a release of energy, you know, I've not really thought it all that important if the mind understands it or not. It still has happened.
Mm-hmm. So the question becomes, does there remain a gap at all between your deeper experience and your personality? Has your personality had a chance to shift all the way through?
That makes so much sense. And I have this, I don't know, pattern, or I don't want to have it anymore, but I don't know how to navigate having a really deep, profound experience and then sharing it in a concise way. There's a part of me that feels like really scared to speak those words. And also I feel like I'm giving that tender experience away, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's a part of me that wants to just like have that to myself to nurture more deeply, and I don't know how to navigate that.
That's why we call it gestating and cultivating. Definitely a seed needs to be planted and protected before it grows and blossoms, and a baby spends time developing, and so do your spiritual realizations and transformations. And so you do want to wait until something has really come to gestation and birthed within you to the point of you being transformed. And so that's one level of sharing. And then, you know, there's another level where it's about generosity of the group. When I teach at Baldwin Wallace and we work with the students there, Scott Plate, who's an acting teacher, talks about, and he coaches business people in terms of how to speak and present. And there's a certain generosity, that he calls it, that you contribute to a group, and in your words, you try to be as generous. Now, that doesn't mean wordy, but it means a sense of providing, contributing to the group in a way that would enhance the group. And in a way that doesn't make people work too hard to understand you. And for empaths, that's like a really big deal because you don't necessarily know how to express all that you're experiencing on all the dimensions of your being and how to do that so that it comes out clear. So in this class, we're practicing that. The comments are an opportunity to practice expressing yourself. So I want you to see that as a way of getting better at expressing yourself. Now, the only caveat for the page is that you don't dump. You can try expressing something, but it's got to be from, let's say, a grounded place where you're not just complaining about your day or week or month. That's not generous. Being generous is trying to contribute to the overall benefit of the group. Is that landing somewhere?
It's being generous with yourself.
Mm-hmm. One of the thoughts that struck me, and I've been asking myself, should I share this or not, is that I think prior to the entire gestation process coming to fruition on a teaching that's coming through, if it's not there at that point yet, a fear that would arise for me is the judgment coming toward me about what I have to share. Mm-hmm. But once I get through that, where I come to that point where I know this to be the absolute truth for me at the moment, I don't fear any judgment that might come to me or would even be affected by any judgment that would come to me.
Mm-hmm. Because you know it so deeply, it's, quote, right, written in your bones.
At that point, yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. So I've noticed sometimes people pose questions on the page, and I know I will, sometimes I just want to state where I am so that it actually opens up the next stage of understanding for me, that somehow just stating where I am has an enzymatic effect of opening up my consciousness or asking a question and doing it in a way that's curious rather than fearful.
Yeah, that too.
Uh-huh.
That does happen. Mm-hmm. For me.
Plus, remember, it's not about perfection.
Now, that makes me want to have to work, Andrea, when you say that.
Well, that's what I mean, though. It doesn't have to be perfect. It's still
right, but what I want to say, when you just make a phrase like that, it makes me have to work to understand what you're saying.
Oh, okay.
Then you stating something that has a complete thought.
I just meant that lots of times the judgment comes when you think you have to put something down perfectly, mm-hmm. and it's really not about that. It is back to generosity.
Right. So that's a whole different statement than saying...
Sorry. Yes.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Perfect. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
So Ananda, let me ask Ananda, how did you end up with this? Where did you end up?
I'm just going to have to keep sitting with it. I mean, maybe this is years of training, but you know, the deepest feelings can only be expressed by silence. Printed cakes do not feed. You know, the Tao that can be named is not the eternal Tao. I mean, most of my training has been, you don't even try to, if you have a deep spiritual experience, the last thing you do is go tell everybody about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just have to sit with this for a while, because it still doesn't, I'm going to have to sit with it for a while. It's not there yet.
Right. And I actually came from the same place. And so the first place that needs to come through to is myself. That whatever the teaching is, somehow I need to bring it all the way through to me, like Cindy described. Once that's cultivated and become my own realization, there's nothing to lose in sharing it. I mean, there is the principle of don't throw pearls before swine, and that I still observe and respect. And we're learning how to be in a spiritual community that is sacred and ceremonial. And how do we participate in that in a way that brings it all the way through to our life? So I found that by practicing, coming from the place that you just described, Ananda, there was a way that I kept all of that in a beautiful treasure chest, almost not to be touched. And then through the teachings of Sufi Amin back in the 70s of how do we bring spirituality into everyday life, I learned through transmission to open up that treasure chest and be willing to see what that might look like as an actualized daily awareness. And then through that awareness, and it's titrated. It's not desecrated, it's titrated into a living energy that I can be aware of when I'm embodied and grounded and connected, as we've been learning to do here. If I do it when I'm not connected and not grounded and not held in a palpable way with Mother Earth, then it feels like I'm desecrating a teaching. But if I'm the living vibration of it in my daily life, it's cultivating that wisdom in the world. The difference is in the grounded space and connectivity. So I'm not using the spiritual teaching for aggrandizement, for anything of my ego, for my personal gain. I become it, and I am a radiating, living vibration of it. And whether it comes out as words of a teaching or how I just speak to another person in my atmosphere, it's enhancing it. And it's also benefiting me. It's nourishing me in a very living, present way. So let's just put this in practical terms. Let's say, you know, you've had a deep experience and you've cultivated it and it's very special to you. And you happen to open up the page and you see something that sparks your heart, you may be able to just write something from that living space that generously feeds the group. And it's coming from your living realization. And it's not telling someone what to do, but it's coming from your resonance with what sparked you. That's a whole different level of communication that we're developing here. And so it's not kind of going into teacher mode, because it's not about expounding or telling someone what you know, but there's something that inspirationally comes through when you're grounded and connected.
Can I share what I just heard?
Mm-hmm.
And as it's written in our bones and it cultivates and we bring it through, by not keeping it to ourselves, but it radiating from us, we're also like seeding vibrationally the cultural consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're bringing it through. Because we're not separate from then others.
Yeah, you become the living teaching. And that becoming the living teaching is quite a practice. I mean, that takes patience and self-kindness, and your life actually contributes. It'll bring things, your life will show up. Situations that will test that teaching in you. It will bring up situations that create the classroom for those teachings. And so life becomes the teacher, and there's a very living call and response that happens in life when we approach it this way. But I wouldn't have known this, coming from the similar background to Ananda, I would not have known this pathway without these feminine teachings, without the connection to Mother Earth. And that was the gap that I always missed and couldn't figure out with the spiritual teachings. So to me, it's like the feminine teachings are the images of the pregnant female who brings forth life. It's a very embodied teaching. And these teachings have been, well, let's just say they're starting to come to the foreground now. They've been hidden. Not only hidden, but suppressed. And they're coming to the foreground now. So that we can begin to live an embodied spiritual life. So I want you to feel, I want everyone to feel the gap, if there's a gap between how you hold the spiritual teachings and how you can let them flow through you when you're connected and grounded. There we go. Would anyone care to comment on how that felt?
Yeah, Sarah, felt like a rusty gate just opened and I can bring forth my uniqueness. But I always withheld my uniqueness and that kind of gate opened up. And so the energy is starting to flow through now.
I felt a movement in my, I guess, solar plexus area, like a little lower than that. And I feel something stirring too and clearing. I have a lot of still to, after even after all these months, confusion around new schemas and old schemas, and they switch places and I'm letting go and I'm trying to bring things in and they're not consolidating yet. So I have to be very patient with that.
Sally, what was the word you used? New and old what?
Schemas. You know, if you're learning.
Wait. I don't know that word you're using. I can't hear it clearly. You're not, it's not coming through clearly.
Schema.
Schema. Okay. Okay,
so
go on.
I feel that like I'm trying to create this new way of being, but it doesn't stick. So to get back to it can be really challenging for me still sometimes. Sometimes I can and it's fine. And then other times it's like starting all over again. Mm-hmm. And so it requires effort. And I think that's how I feel about writing on a page. I just can't get there yet. And I'm going to keep trying, but I'm feeling that really start to move right now.
Do you know how long it takes me to write one of those articles for Sedona Journal? It takes me a full month. You can ask Ken. It starts out, it's not easy writing from a spiritual point of view, from a realized point of view. And I probably write 100 pages and then they all get thrown out and then the final one comes through almost as one continuous stream. But it takes that much from me attuning to what the teaching wants to be that comes through. I have to go through that process of writing and writing and writing and writing, and I have pages of beautiful teachings, but they're not coherent yet, and they haven't coalesced into a flowing document yet that's completely in one frequency and aligned. So no, it's not easy. It's not easy to write truth. Every class description, every blog, everything. I spend hours. You can't even imagine how much time I spend to write something. I am not a natural writer, which is why I'm going to go into podcasting. But it does. It takes quite a bit to write truth that's aligned, high frequency, and an expression of your unique being. Uh, I'm sorry, Marianne, what were you going to say?
I just, you know, when you said it is difficult to write the truth with a big T, that was very clear.
That's true.
Very clear. And coupled with Cindy Chicken-Dance said earlier in what you commented on is the process I feel to get to that, being able to be clear and write the truth with a capital T, was very helpful.
Mm-hmm. What I realized, Sarah, with your last explanation when we were talking about the feminine energies, is that I kept looking at the title of the class for today and seeing that living into the answer. I'm thinking, what does that mean? You know, I'm trying to wrap my brain around that. Your explanation brought that teaching through, what living through the energy is, mm-hmm. or living through the answer.
Living into your answer, yes.
Living into your mm-hmm. answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's the feminine teaching mm-hmm. that does that. And Mother Earth, of course, but she's the feminine teacher. So, thank you. I thought I'd get the answer to that question today, but it was, I just kept reading it over and over. What does this mean? What does this mean? Okay. Thank you. Now I know.
Yeah. This is Fran.
Got Andy with the brick on the head.
This is Fran. That was very helpful for me also. I also found myself kind of racking my brain and recognizing I was doing that and attempting to go deeper and not knowing where to go. And your explanation was beautifully clear. And I realized as you spoke that at least one, I would say, significant realization I've had sitting this past week is very much aligned with that. And as I started to try to distill it and write it and allow it to sort of integrate within me, it's just, I understand that was the process that I was going through. So thank you.
There's a big shower of light coming through now. So to kind of clarify that even more, you know, we live in this world that is objectified. And no matter what we do, that's what's reflected back to us. And we vibrate to it at a certain level that's just always there. And if we want to get to a place that feels like an alignment with truth within us, it takes muscle. It's not necessarily effort. It's more like a remembering and a release, and a release back into yourself, detaching from the current world. And this is very, very embodied spirituality. I mean, can you do this in the middle of the world? And I've been giggling all morning because as I was preparing for the class and kind of getting the frequencies flowing and all that, and I kept just seeing the words Mother Earth, and the big M and the big E just kept shining out. It's like Mother Earth, me, Mother Earth, me. And it's mm-hmm. like there's no distinction. That's a fractal. Mother Earth is a fractal of me, and I'm a fractal of her. And that's part of the relational, holistic experience rather than the objectified, materialistic experience. And so that's the first place we need to shift from. And that is the toughest shift to make, is having that grip of that consciousness release. And that's why relaxation is so important. It's back to that image of the Chinese finger tube, where the more you pull, the harder it is to release. And the first step is always relaxation. It's always relaxing your muscles. That is the very first thing you have to do, no matter what. And it's not simplistic. It's not too simple. It's the masterful accomplishment of releasing the grip of the major consciousness on the planet right now. And so you're releasing it in your body, and then your consciousness follows suit. You start to release from that grip and come back to yourself. You come back to Mother Earth and you come back to me. I want you to just kind of use that this month as a way of working with this, is the me and the Mother Earth. And that relaxation can't be skipped over. The body has to feel some kind of relaxation before you can come back to that deeper state, more connected, relational, whole state. You can't forget the body. It's your living consciousness too. And so if the body's not included, there's a gap between the teaching and you becoming the teaching. This is a very sophisticated spiritual approach. It's asking a lot. Now, I know that during some of this, some of our sheltering in place has become sheltering within, and some people have been actually able to relax and, you know, jump off the hamster wheel and find a new place within themselves once the grind is gone. And that's one of the benefits of what's going on right now. But if I was going to say any clue of where to begin with coming back to yourself and coming back to the living teachings within your being, it does have to do with relaxation. And then once we begin to relax and come back and can sense ourselves, come back to the breath, we come back to our body, we come back to our lightness of being. And then we come back to a deeper connection with all of life, which happens through Mother Earth. We can call her Mother Earth, the great goddess, the heart of the mother, the great mother, all those names, all those beings who have represented this teaching. And the beauty of it is it doesn't have to come through anyone else. It's because our body is the body of the mother. Our body is nature incarnated. And that by connecting deeply, the entire scope of all spiritual teachings is revealed. Hazrat Anayat Han used to say that, I'm going to butcher this one, but nature is the holy book, basically. So we're taking this out of the realm of looking to someone else for a teaching to looking within and becoming the teaching. Now, I'm going to tie this back to empaths. This is the beauty of being an empath. This is the real gift of the exquisite energetic aliveness and sensitivity. Not too sensitive, but the sensitivity on the subtle level that an empath has. You're able to experience when you direct that sensitivity and awareness to the aliveness of your body and being, to the aliveness of Mother Earth, you can easily become Mother Earth instead of the people around you. So there's that capacity in an empath, but it has to be trained and become skillful. And that's what we've been practicing. We're learning to be skillful with the capacity that an empath has. Now, there is a point where you really, well, I said this to myself at one point. I said, boy, I really don't want to point my antenna outward, because that's not very pleasant, because we live in a very ungrounded, energetically disorganized world. So I'd prefer to train myself to direct my sensitivity and my antenna to the natural world, to the world of Mother Earth, that includes the organized cycles of life energy, of chi, the intelligence of that. And then once I align with that, all kinds of worlds open up to me. And so the teachings become very alive within. And they grow in me the same way my body grows through developmental stages. And become a living vibration in my cells. And it is a sort of transfiguration. is a type of transfiguration. Now, if we're coming at it from the point of view of what's that going to do for me? How is it going to change my health? How is it going to make me this or that or what? That is blocking the actual vibration into the cellular level, because that's coming from the materialistic point of view. But when I come from the relational, holistic point of view, it's all communication, it's all intelligence. And it's not what it can do for me, it is how I exist in the present. And this is the essence of all spiritual teachings. So as empaths, you have the capacity to direct those sensitive antenna in a skillful way. And that's what we've been practicing. That's what we're developing. Comments, response.
The quote is, "There is one holy book, the sacred manuscript of nature, the only scripture which can enlighten the reader."
Oh, thank you, Ananda. Can you say that again, Ananda?
"There is one holy book, the sacred manuscript of nature, the only scripture which can enlighten the reader."
It makes me just want to melt into the earth. It's very beautiful and profound what you said.
I don't have the words, it's in my bones.
Okay, so I'm going to mute us and we're going to take this to the next level. And our sacred ceremony. Okay, so we are muted. And take a moment to bring your attention back to yourself, to your body, to the lightness of your being. And gently go through the body and invite all the muscles and tendons and organs and cells to relax and settle downward. The ultimate balance state is not necessarily all downward. It's actually a balance of the upward flow and the downward flow. But how do you release the grip of the world? Now let me bring this image to mind. Has anyone picked up a two-year-old and tried to put him in a car seat? And they let go of their shoulders and they slide right through your grip. They just let go and drop down and release everything so that there's no resistance. And that is exactly what we're doing. We're letting go in a way that if we're not in a state of resistance, nothing can hold on to us. So we're slipping out of the grip of that split reality, of the polarized reality. And we may notice that the lightness of our being is centered around the upper half of our being. And I know this is true for me. This is where I notice it. And so we want to open up the full body, all the meridians, all the channels, all the muscles, all the soft tissue, so that the lightness of our being pervades, assimilates into our entire body from head to toe. And so it takes a little bit of relaxing, a little consciousness of the lower part of our body. And we may feel it in the sphere of our aura, as well as through the body and all the subtle energy channels. We want to distribute our light of being throughout our body, our energy field, until our light of being is in full circulation and in harmony, bringing every part of our being in harmony. And you probably go through several stages of deepening into this. Until the mind relaxes, the body fully relaxes, the emotions relax. And you actually enter into the world of vibration and frequency, and the mind becomes integrated with the wholeness of your being. And then let's sense through our feet, through our seat, our connection with the planet, with Mother Earth, who is really another great sphere of our being. And let the energy circulate into the physical earth, which helps the body release and relax even more. We need that really vital chi from the planet to help us truly relax. Stress and tension is really a function of low-grade chi, which is formed out of our thoughts and reactions, as well as our environment. There we go. Again, we'll let the vibration, frequency of our being naturally refine We're clearing a lot of density. We're raising the vibration of a lot of density in our being right now. Basically going through a purification process. So the really high grade chi and love coming from Mother Earth is filtering and detoxifying not only our field, but also our thoughts, our feelings, and our body, and attuning us to the frequency of Mother Earth or the Great Goddess. So as this is happening, as we're each being purified, actually our circle hasn't formed yet because there's a big purification process that we're going through. So in order to form a sacred circle, each participant in it has to become that clear column of frequency that raises us into the state of a sacred temple, sacred circle. And that's okay. That's what we do. And we are relying right now on the intelligence, the holy energies of the feminine, of the earth, to bring us to that frequency. Let the energies flow through your hands, your heart, your feet, your seat, and it'll naturally rise to the crown. Don't force it. Let it bubble up, opening up all the pathways on its way upward. And you have permission to forget about everyone else. The circle will come back into consciousness once you're fully enlightened. Don't try to see the circle. Don't try to see anything. Don't try to know it. Let yourself become it. Let become pure energy, pure light. So those of you who are still holding on a bit with the mind, trying to understand, trying to stay in a split place, see if you can come back into sensing your body, sensing your feet, and allow the understanding to arise within you instead of from outside, from the disconnected place. Now the circle is formed. I don't project anything into the circle. This is where the unknown is revealed, where we're beyond any projections. So any edge that you bumped up into, invite it to release and let yourself be in the unknown, in the light, being held by the mother. And resting in this space, participating with your light of being, with the greater light of being, is of huge value. We don't have to add anything to it. It's like resting by a beautiful stream or the ocean or sitting on the mountaintop and enjoying without pretext the energy in the moment. And then the energy becomes a unified frequency that's ringing beautiful tones like a wind harp or a chime. There's a natural progression to higher and higher octaves of frequency and refinement. And as the planetary frequencies become higher and higher, which they are, we are able to open up to even more dimensions of refinement than has been available to us. I want you to notice that you can sense these extremely refined, beautiful frequencies as an experience of consciousness. And you can also feel your feet on the floor and your seat in the chair. It's a continuum. Refrain from overlaying any thoughts of deities or teachings or anything. Be in the experience. know, with every activation like this, there is a point where the lover and the beloved meet, where Mother Earth and Father Sun meet, where the consciousness of the planet meets the consciousness of the stars. And a great experience of love and harmony and beauty exists. And we don't have to list the benefits of this. We don't have to try to take something from it. We just become it. Now, if you can take a little bit deeper breath. Gently becoming aware of your body and your lightness of being. And you don't have to fragment it. You can stay in your wholeness and relational field. Notice the tendency to want to split. And instead, listen to the voice that's within you. Maybe a whole different conversation that wants to come out than the one that the brain that's separated from your lightness of being wants to have. Notice the difference in the conversation of your wholeness and the split off conversation. How many buts and unknowns are in the, how many questions and resistances are in the separated mind, and how much light and wholeness is in the heart intelligence, the wholeness intelligence. Just notice that. And just notice, just discern between the two different types of consciousness. There's literally two conversations going on, at least. There's probably a lot more. One from the wholeness of you and one from the separated part of you. This is a huge revealing to be able to see the two different states. Your empath consciousness is this wholeness consciousness. So it has a whole different set of criteria, way of being. Certain type of intelligence. It's very energetically alive, very responsive, but also very grounded and with living boundaries. When you step outside that consciousness into the separated part, not so alive, not so living, intelligent, connected. Gonna breathe back into the body, sensing the light of your being distributed throughout and including the sense of your energy field, your bubble. How strong it is right now, how vibrant. Be aware of your seat and feet. Be You might want to go into a rest state where it feels like you're almost going to sleep. That's a transitional state. Back to the body fully. And a few more deep breaths and adjust yourself if you need to stretch. Wiggle some fingers and toes. Adjust your feet and back. Open your eyes. Okay, so I am going to unmute us, so settle back down. And we're unmuted. Is 8740, are you outside or I'm just hearing a lot of sound?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I'm just going to mute you. Oh, yeah. Okay, that helped. Okay. So let's adjust a little more to being back together in a little different way. And allow your consciousness to reground here and feel yourself in your physical body and sense your bubble around you, your living membrane. Now we're going to coming back to this physical world and the physical consciousness with the additional intelligence and light of our full being. But it is a shift of focus. Okay. And so I'm actually going to go through the list again, and I'm going to ask each person to share one little thing they noted during that meditation. What was significant for you? We're going to bring it through. We're going to thread it through to this consciousness. So I'm actually going to start at the opposite end of where we were before. So there's two people who are muted. So when it's time for you to speak, you can unmute yourself. So we're going to start with Ken. I'm starting in the W's. Ken, are you here?
Okay, yep. I'm back.
Gentle with your voice, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I felt supremely connected.
Okay. Andrea? If you're speaking, we can't hear you. Can't hear you, Andrea.
I felt outside of my own body.
Okay. And Cindy Chicken Dance?
I noticed my visual field going very black and with a very significant tiny white dot in the center of it. And as soon as I noticed the tiny white dot, you said the circle has formed.
Ah, okay.
That was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Fran?
I experienced a very deep releasing and letting go.
Okay. Sally?
I got to a place where I could feel the integration of both aspects of myself.
Great. Cindy Rakow?
I experienced a deep quality of quietness, yet it felt very sparkly and bright.
Okay. Maureen?
That whole state was very, very settled, and I just had a sense of complete certainty in it, as if I just know this. Not anything specific, just I know this.
Tracy?
It was very unique as I observed my inner self slow down quite a bit to see the outside world outside my bubble, just kind of showcasing the life around me, but not intruding within me.
Ah, nice. Okay, Kathy, Nacy, are you here? No, she got here. Okay, Coco.
I noticed a deeper body awareness that shifted in. I was seeing a lot of colors and shapes and just a deeper letting go.
Okay. And Kim?
I sensed, I maintained a sense of self while at the same time recognizing this flow and connection and in being unified with the group in the circle. And the more I became aware of that, I then also found gratitude starting to surface, deep sense of appreciation for being an empath. And then recognized a recent compliment my sister gave me in that she admired my ability to be able to handle the social isolation and the pandemic issues and be so calm with it. And of course, it's a lifetime of practicing being isolated, and being within myself. And that just, again, reaffirmed this great gift that I have of being an empath. And actually, for years, I thought it was my worst nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And it has kind of flipped my awareness completely inside out.
Mm. Beautiful. Okay, Missy?
I think, there was a lot. I saw a lot of colors, too. I think the most incredible thing was a deep release of fear of not being good enough as a mother. And, of course, it's really intensified with we're actually quarantined. And so it's intensified in how to nurture my child, my 8-year-old daughter. So there was this beautiful connection to Mother Earth and my connection to her and how I can bring my daughter into that.
And Lisa.
I experienced a really profound release through my neck and my clavicle, especially on the left side. And the more I was able to connect with the mother, it was just this remarkable release.
Beautiful. Let's see, Michelle? Not here. Okay. Scott?
I experienced myself almost like a glass bottle, and my hand was stopping the bottle, and I had to remove my hand and just allow more of the light into my being.
Nice. Rana.
I experienced a lot of release, a lot of shifting back and forth between and having an identity and letting go into the light energy. And I experienced feeling grounded in my feet and body, and yet a oneness with the bubble, and ascending and moving and then the part of me that identifies with a body or separateness became fearful and then things kind of stopped. I stopped, you know, being immersed in that movement of ascension and just sort of assimilated and integrated and let go of fear and regrounded, and I'm still processing and integrating the experience.
Okay. Elena?
I experienced a lot of expansiveness. I felt very, very far away. And then at the same time had a very beautiful moment of almost like someone shining a light on this pathway that was very dark, and that I felt I'd been stumbling to find a lot previously, and then it kind of lit up and I was able to find my feet and bridge that expansion with my three-dimensional body. It felt really, really lovely.
Nice. Thank you. And Ananda?
I felt
vast, just incredible vastness.
Okay. Marianne. Let's see if you're speaking, Marianne. We can't hear.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was muted. I'm sorry. I felt happy, particularly when you spoke about my mind, our mind, becoming integrated into the wholeness of our being. It made me happy. It made me feel whole. And as it progressed, the light became stronger and stronger. And it was happy without, it felt happy, that integration. And it was lovely. I was happy.
Okay, we got it. Good. Deborah?
I felt complete and safe and truly well being expansive.
Mm-hmm. Great. And Lori, did you get on? Still don't have Lori. Okay. If you are speaking, Lori, I don't know if you're muted, but nope. Okay. Okay. How did it feel to be able to speak in a group where you weren't judged and you could actually speak a sentence or two that streamed from that experience?
I was very, very grateful. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I missed who else spoke at the same time as Marianne.
It was me. I said it feels safe. It's a wonderful feeling to feel safe.
Okay.
I was nervous, and I just had to practice staying in my bubble and letting the old paradigm of I'm not allowed to speak of this, I have to hide, letting that fade and just re-identifying and regrounding into my truth.
Good for you.
I felt like I was within the wise counsel.
Mm-hmm.
I used words I would never use out in public.
Mm.
I said I was supremely connected. I don't think I'd use either of those words in general conversation.
Mm. It felt very sacred.
We're going a little over, if that's okay. Oh, wait, what time? Yeah, okay, we're a little over. And if you have to leave, just blessings. And you can leave, but we'll go a few more minutes here. Let's see, what was I going to say? So there is a difference in speaking in a sacred circle without judgment and with a sense of attunement. But the idea of speaking is so important for an empath. The experience of speaking. Because we haven't gotten a chance to speak what our real experience is very often. And the language we might use to describe something might not be understood. And so we begin to self-silence. And once we begin to self-silence, we begin to silence other parts of ourselves. And it just kind of ripples through until we're kind of a confused mess inside. So having the opportunity to actually speak in a sacred circle is extremely healing and gives you a new reference point for being heard. That will translate a lot into your daily life. And you'll understand. You understand that we're not speaking in sacred space. There's a whole lot of reasons why people don't understand what you say. Everyone's at a different frequency, a different level of realization. And so that actually frees you to come back to yourself, your true self, and be the fullness of you. Enough so that you can become a coherent speaker. That you speak in full sentences about your experience in a way that is complete. Not having to adapt what you say to the listener, but coming from a frequency that is light-filled, that is centered, but is your truth. It's a little different than having all of the antenna outward and trying to adapt an empath's experience to the rest of the world.
Amen.
Okay. So this month, I would like you to practice. See what it's like. As I've said before, most people aren't even listening enough to what anyone else says that it doesn't matter what you say. So you might as well say what you want to say.
Thank you for acknowledging that.
And see what happens if you express your experience, even if it's subtle, even if it's metaphorical. And practice, give yourself a chance to practice speaking your empathic language and understanding from a grounded place. You don't want to be ungrounded when you speak. You want to be grounded, connected to the earth. Remember, Mother Earth and me, M-E, means both of you at the same time. Okay? Mm-hmm. And practice that. See what happens. It's an experiment. But it's an experiment in becoming the fullness of you. And then back to the idea of living into your answers and back to where we started at the beginning. Life is a call and a response. We're very energetically alive, especially empaths. And highly perceptive. And so I find that my questions, my confusion, my understanding is in a call and response to life. And that's what I mean by living into your answers. It's like, okay, here I am. Life is going on. What am I being called to do? What's responding to me? How am I responding? And let myself move into a pathway that's unknown. You don't know the end. But you are living into your answers, whatever the questions are, whatever the need is. You let yourself live into this unknown call and response of life and let it be revealed. And sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's a little challenging. It's, you know, like climbing a mountain. Sometimes you're scrambling over rocks. Sometimes it's an easy path. But you're living into it. You're alive. And it's yours. It becomes your path. You own it. And you own the answers. They become your living teachings. So those are the two things that I would like you to practice this month. Well, how do we feel about having assigned days to write on the page? Do we want to continue that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are the few people speaking for everyone? Do I have a general consensus of yes?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, too.
Okay.
Raise your hand if you want to ask.
I can see that.
You probably can't.
There you go.
Okay, so I'll set up another calendar. I personally love seeing everyone's comments. I think everyone did a great job of contributing to the flow and streaming of the class between sessions. There's a lot of support energy that happens as a result.
Yeah. Okay. I felt that difference.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. And then let's see. Keep checking on my news and research page because I keep adding things there that are very interesting. Have some of you accessed that page?
Yeah. You have.
Yeah.
I have, yeah.
Okay. Because there's lots of good supplemental information there. Okay, any last questions or comments?
Thank you for the beautiful artwork. Your photography is just amazing.
Oh, was that in that one document?
All of them. I mean, even the cliff dwelling picture. Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. That was just remarkable.
And the purple. And the purple flower.
Oh, wow. Beautiful. You know what that is? It's an artichoke flower.
Is it really? Okay. It was gorgeous.
Has anyone seen an artichoke in bloom? Elena, you have. I know you have.
I have not. No, it was gorgeous to see.
That's an artichoke in bloom. That's amazing.
I love the picture of the healer by the artist.
Oh, yeah. By that's my friend Ellen. She's an amazing artist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't. I went and bought it.
He's
coming to my house. Yes.
Oh, good. Yeah.
I'm excited.
My best friend, she's the older sister of my best friend growing up. And she was always this specter around my girlfriend and I, like a presence that was always there, and she's an amazing being. And her artwork is just beautiful.
Thank you.
And I asked her for permission to use that picture because it just spoke to me so deeply. So. Okay, anything else? Okay. I am starting, some of you might have noticed it. I am starting a beginning meditation class It's just one of my 4-week meditation classes. So if you, and it's very inexpensive. It's so funny. I was, Regina Bratt interviewed me for a podcast the other day, and she said, why don't you have like an inexpensive class where people can learn to meditate from you? She said, you know, you are the perfect person to teach someone to meditate who can't meditate. So, so I put that class up, and then I put up another class on empaths and relationships, which is going to dig into the nitty gritty, dirty stuff of that. And anyone who's in a class with me again can take that class for half price. Or if you refer someone to the class, you can take it for free. So there's an incentive. There's my incentives.
I liked your last meditation about joining the cosmic chorus.
Yeah, thank you. So things are moving along here. And
yes, they are.
By the time we meet again, life will be completely different again. So let's support each other with our sense of light and being. One other question. When I said lightness of being, was that easy for you to connect to?
Yeah.
Or not?
Yeah.
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 Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think that's amazing? What, Scott?
I was going to say, I recognize how often I would have blocked that, though. But yeah, I was able to connect. I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. How frequently do I deny that?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. I'm glad you could relate to it easily. I wasn't sure. I was guided to try that and see. It's amazing that you can. And then you can feel how you're connected kind of on the upper part of your body, and it needs to filter down into the lower part. Could you feel that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
That was part of my happy, that integration was that wholeness. That was part of my happy.
Okay.
Very pleased.
Okay, so no more weariness, Marianne.
I went. Thank you for the reminder.
Okay, my friends. Thank you so much for meeting today, and God bless.